card or, all right. Anyway, so apparently he's on some alien planet, as he tends to be, and you know, he's gotten into some trouble, and he's being he's brought in front of this court, and it's sort of a kangaroo court. They're going to convict him, and they're going to kill him. All right, that's what it looks like. Of course, he doesn't die. That's spoiler alert. Anyway, they bring him into this courtroom, and he's prepared to make his defense and his argument, but he knows this is kind of silly. And at some point, the judge says to him, "Now I'm going to ask you a question. And if the first word that comes out of your mouth is not yes, I'm going to have these people shoot you on the spot." And then he says, "So," and the question is something like, "Are you guilty of crimes against, you know, humanity or something?" You know, just, and he's like, "Well, that's a tough question to have to say yes to." And so he says, "Yes. Provisionally." And then he goes on to his long speech about why it's not really a yes. All right? So the point, of course, is that the yes under these conditions, yes, but yes if we assume this, is often a way to deal with situations where people are maybe even unfairly forcing you to take a big position, a big stance on something. Now, that's the whole point. You don't need to write a whole paper about it, I think. But it's a really nice point. Right? Okay. Okay, what do we have next? Okay, so I've sort of implied this. They're not out to get you. It sometimes seems that way. But you got to understand, these people like you. And they want to continue liking you. It's just that you're not the only concern they have in life. Which is bad and good. So the bad part is, well, you know, they're not doing everything they possibly could, or they're not being as responsive, they're not getting back to me in time, even though I have other deadlines. Okay, that's bad. The good part is the part that they're not out to get you. You know, they probably don't have any bad intent. They have their own issues and concerns, and so you can work with them in most cases. So if they're not being responsive, if they're not being sensitive to your deadlines, if they're not exactly moving in the direction you want them to move, don't assume it's because they don't want to or they don't like you. It could be any of those other things. It could just be that they're busy. It could be that they're having a hard time with their kids at home. You don't know what it is. But usually it's not that they're out to get you. And especially if you're dealing with your future boss, they're not out to get you. They may have a personality or a style you're not used to, which sometimes looks like they don't care about you. That may be true. It may be that they're really busy. But they like you. They want to keep you. They're trying to hire you. And they like you at least as much as you like them. All right, and the fact is, you're also considering other options, and so it's kind of normal. So don't get too bogged down about that. Keep in mind, whoever you're negotiating with, companies don't negotiate; people negotiate, and every person is different. And part of that difference comes from the role that they inhabit in the company. Negotiating with your future boss is very different from negotiating with the HR person. They require different tactics, different assumptions. You can get different information from them. At the end of the day, it may not be as bad for you if the HR person is slightly annoyed with you. It will be very bad for you if your future boss is annoyed with you. All right? Your future boss may only be hiring you. The HR person may be responsible for 10 different people. The HR person may be more concerned about precedent. Your boss may actually be willing to go to bat for you if they can justify it internally. So understand the person you're negotiating with. What are their interests? What are their concerns? Don't walk away thinking, this company doesn't value me because of what one person is doing or saying, all right? Think about who in this company values you and why, and how you can leverage that value that you're bringing to the table for those folks in order to have a good negotiation with the different parts of the company, all right? Incidentally, this sort of goes along, don't let one person in a company ruin your view of the company. Of course, if that's the person you're gonna be working with, then you may choose not to work there, but even there, you know, don't overinflate what one person says or does. Okay, don't be in a mad rush to get offers. This is a quick point on this. In the beginning of the job market, often we're sort of in a rush to try to get at least one job offer, hopefully many. But then we get one, and then we find out that there's a problem, which is we got one very quickly because we rushed it, and now they want to know in a week, or they want to know in a month, or they want to know in 2 months. And really, I was kind of hoping to stretch this part of my life out a little bit. It's great to interview early, but occasionally you want to slow down the process. Don't assume the process should always be sped up. Sometimes the better process is a slower process. You know, again, there's some judgment calls, right? You don't want to slow it down so much that they lose interest or they hire someone else, etc. But don't always be in a rush to get this negotiation done as quickly as possible. think about the portfolio of negotiations you're doing. Again, that's a broader point. It's not just in job negotiations. You can negotiate each deal perfectly well, but if you're not thinking through the portfolio of deals you're negotiating, you may end up in a place you don't want to end up. All right? So you may want to try, for example, in this case, to have those offers come in a little bit more close to each other than simply one in October, one in December, and one in February. The other ones you might want to move sooner. These you might want to delay, to the extent possible, not always possible. All right, just a couple more to go here. Tell the truth. I'm not sure how much more I need to say about this because that's the whole point. But, you know, resist the temptation to tell even a small lie. This is where everybody's been trying to hammer into the course load, not just in your, leadership and corporate accountability or whatever the course is called, or the ethics discussions in this class. This is what it comes down to. This is, I teach negotiation. So this is your first negotiation. All right. This is the first company you're going to be working with after your MBA. These are the people you're going to be working with in the long term. Even if it was a one-off thing, don't get into the habit of just saying whatever needs to be said to get the deal done, to make a little bit more money. In most cases, because they're not really out to get you, because what really matters is not what they're asking you, but the intent, because there's lots more questions you can ask, because you can do all those things on the equation, in most cases, you can tell the truth smartly and have a good discussion and end up where you want to get. That's negotiating. Yes, there will be occasions where you have to choose between, well, I could tell the truth and I'd probably lose a little bit, or I can lie and get it. Now is the time to get in the habit of never doing that. Don't lie in any negotiation. I know it's kind of like a stupid thing to say because you are who you are, and you may not even have to think about it, and it may sound kind of preachy, which it is, but it's important. So don't do it. Next. Shoot for an 11 out of 10. What do I mean? Occasionally, in a negotiation class, we'll do a negotiation, and afterwards we'll ask people to rate their negotiation partner on a variety of dimensions. So imagine a dimension like how much you look forward to working with this person in the future. When you're negotiating with your future boss or with the company, anybody from that company, imagine that they're going to go back into their office after having the negotiation with you or after reading your email or whatever, and they're going to do two things. One, they're going to either give you or not give you what you asked for. But in addition, they're going to write down on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do I look forward to working with this person? And you should really be shooting for an 11 at that point. You don't want a 9. You certainly don't want an 8, a 7, a 6, a 5, or a 4, any of those. You don't want a 9. Heck, you don't even want a 10. You want even that negotiation to actually make them want to work with you even more than they did before you ask them to give you stuff. That's the goal. To negotiate in a way, openly, honestly, with empathy, with understanding, with give and take, with due deference to their constraints and what they can't be flexible on, so that when they're done, even having improved your offer, they like you more than they did before because of the way you interacted with them. That's the goal, more than before. And finally, everything I've said is less important when it comes to job negotiations than this point. If you're thinking about how happy you're going to be in life, how well you negotiate your job offer is almost, if not completely, unimportant. What is important is which job you take and what kind of industry you go into, what kind of career path you decide to go down. Those decisions are going to be worth so much more to your ultimate happiness, peace of mind, etc., than anything else you do at the negotiation table. There's just no denying that. All right, we know from significant experience, research, etc., that many of our MBA students are not particularly happy a few years out. And many of them continue to not be very happy many years following that, especially when it comes to the career side of things. And you're never going to have as much opportunity and time to reflect and options, not just opportunities and jobs, but options to consider who you really are, as you do now. Some of you will. Occasionally, hopefully, you can build that into your life. But this is a pretty good time to figure out who you are and what you want to do. If there's something that you always kind of thought you might want to try, if there's a part of you that you haven't been able to really, really manifest in your career so far, get that part right. Don't, again, nobody thinks they're following the crowd, but at the end of the day, there's a crowd and everybody seems to be in it. So, think about who you are. You know, I don't think anybody here thinks they're the average Harvard Business School MBA student. And so don't end up behaving like the average Harvard MBA student. And so think about who you are, what you want to do. And if you can pick that correctly and make some tough decisions there now, you're going to end up in a pretty good space. The point I'm making here is simply the first step matters. What you do now matters because usually the second step is just a continuation down the same path. We take the first step, and then we take the second step, and we take the third step. And the more steps we take, the harder it is to pivot, to turn around, change course, etc. For a whole host of reasons that should be obvious. All right? Okay, I'm going to stop here. We have still plenty of time. And what I'll do is I'll take any questions you may have. Hopefully some of this was useful. Undoubtedly, there's other questions that each of you have that are perhaps idiosyncratic, but maybe even not so idiosyncratic that I can touch on. So if anybody has any questions, what I'll do is I'll take a couple of questions, and then I'll just try to hit all of them as efficiently as I can. So if I can just get two or three questions. Yes, ma'am.
This is a really tactical question, but like when your boss or HR member says, how can we make this offer more attractive? Like, what are you supposed to say? Are you supposed to talk numbers? Or do you say, like, let me get back to you? Like, how long should the timeline be for that conversation? Just, like, what do you actually say in that conversation?
Okay. Let's get a couple more questions.
In relation to that, how do you find out information about what is on the table for negotiation?
Okay.
That's either before you get the job, or it's when you're in the job, when you're going to the office.
Okay. So let's do the two of these together because they seem to be pretty well related.
Okay. On the tactical side, when somebody asks how can we make this better for you, it could be that they're asking for at least some answer in the next 15 seconds. But I don't know of anybody who would be offended if somebody said, I think that's a great question. Obviously, I've given it some thought, but I've learned so much more during the interview process. Would you be okay with me coming back to you after I sleep on it a little bit more? I mean, would you be offended if somebody said that to you? No, I don't know anybody who would be offended by that. So, if you don't have a good answer, and the honest answer is, I need some time, then that's the answer you should give them, all right? If the question is, is this good enough, or are there things that we could improve? You say, I appreciate the offer. It's very nice. There are some things that I might want to, again, if you're prepared, you launch into it. If not, you take your time, all right? Whether you need a day or a week, again, what's the honest truth? What do you need it for, right? Would it be okay if I came back to you a week later because that gives me the opportunity to talk to some of the other folks that I got to meet today? So I think I'd be a better person to answer that question after that rather than right now. So I think those are all perfectly appropriate. Don't feel compelled to answer it right away, unless, of course, their intent is they need to write something down. Well, yeah, okay. So again, now what do you ask for in some sense? How do you find that out? Well, again, in general, if it's a company that hires tons of people from a school like this, well, you can probably find out just by talking to other folks. And you can know that they'll probably be a little bit less flexible on certain issues. It becomes more interesting if they may have some flexibility. And talking to the people that are at that company, learning about their culture and what they seem to value, looking at how long people stay, all of those things give you some information. But at the end of the day, there's nothing wrong with asking the person you're negotiating with. Listen, there are certain things that I was hoping would be a little bit different. We discussed this earlier. The salary is obviously a little bit lower than my other offers or than what I was making before. In addition, I was kind of hoping to start here. Two or three or four things. Can you give me some idea as to where you may have greater or less flexibility? Right? At the end of the day, I want to work at a company that not only do I love and for whom I can create a lot of value, but I want to create the kind of package that works for both of us. And I know what I need maybe overall, but I'm flexible on how we get there. So can you help me understand what's easier? Or, maybe they've already signaled to you for quite a while that they can't be flexible on X. Fine, explore a little bit more. When is there flexibility on that? Has there ever been flexibility on that? If not, where do you tend to be more flexible? Or talk to the current employees there. Did you negotiate your offer? Did people take to it okay? Were they okay with that? Okay, and what worked and what didn't work? I think people are usually okay with that kind of conversation. All right, let's get a couple more. Yes, sir.
Company I interned with, by the time I finished internship, they told me I would like you, if you make up your mind, we'd be happy to have you. But when it's an open offer or oral offer, when is the best time for you to go back? You don't want to go back when you have only like one option and let them know that you do not really have any alternatives. That would put you into a best negotiation position.
Okay. Let me ask you a couple of quick questions. So Are there other companies that you think might give you an offer that you would like more than these?